recording, Joe.
Thanks, Joe. Just making sure we're on the same.
Pay attention to what we're doing.
What are we doing? I have a friend of mine that we were at a conference together years and years ago, and he totally got me. He's like, when is Bianca speaking? And I'm like, there's no speaker name. No, like Bianca, when is she up? I was like, I don't know. Check the schedule. No, when is... He had me going for like 5 minutes. I was trying to like help him realize, and he goes, dude, I'm just messing with you. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So I'm just waiting for Bianca, Jeff. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm just hoping she'll finally step up to the plate. Well, thanks for checking out today's episode of Mixed Messages with
Jeff
Bogue.
You're welcome, Joe.
Oh, man, I feel loved. I am Joe Caruso, and we're glad you're here. Our producer is giving us the little hearts. I love it. Thank you. I feel it right here. All of the fullness of 1 Corinthians 13 is showing up in my life right now of what love is. With so many voices out there, the news, social media, even comedians and friends, it's tough to know what to think or how to make decisions. And we just want to help you sort through the noise and think through things in a way that allows us to cut through all the mixed messages around us and find the way of Jesus. So let's go ahead and get into it. Jeff, we got kind of a double-edged question today, really talking about kind of the all-powerfulness or even the all-knowingness of God. This listener says, can we talk about God's protection? My kids are sometimes scared of things like a bad guy breaking into the house or a hurricane or a fire. How do I guide them through this biblically? I want to say that God is with them and that God will protect them, but I also know that God doesn't promise to save us from every natural disaster or bad thing. So how do we navigate that? And Jeff, I think I would know how to navigate it, but I'll even double down on this question.
Yeah.
I've hung out with two families in particular in the last 3 weeks where they have children. One is still in like preschool age. The other one is in early elementary. And I mean, their family is fighting this hard right now. I mean, the one little girl, every time it thunders, she loses her mind. And it's all just this fear of like, what's going to happen, and they're trying to navigate this. They want to say, well, it's okay, like God has you, but people also do suffer from this stuff. So how do we navigate it?
Well, I was giggling a little bit because the reader was like, we live in our house where a bad guy breaks in or hurricane or fire. And I thought, what neighborhood do you live in?
That's Florida, man, right there.
Robbery,
that's just
hurricanes and fires all in your neighborhood.
This is a Florida episode, obviously. That's just what it is. No.
Yeah. So it's funny a little bit. This is really a parenting question, not a God question. Mm. And so I think, like, when you're talking about like your other friend, like that little girl scared all the time, like, what do we do? I think there's a little bit in my answer here. I think what you're going to feel is a little bit of parenting advice and then some knowledge of God advice. So here's my parenting advice. We'll kind of start there. First thing I would say is I don't think I would teach my kids that God would protect them from everything. I think I would teach my kids that God is with them in everything. Because if you teach your kids that God protects them in everything, you're teaching them falsehood.
Yep.
So God does not promise to keep us from negative things. He promises to be with us. And then you'll hear the psalmist and others write of God's protection because there are times when God supernaturally protects us, and we should recognize him and praise him for that. It doesn't mean that that is all the time. So there is a fine line between a funny story and a tragic story.
Yeah.
And I think when your family walks that fine line and it becomes a funny story, you should praise God for his protection, right? So when you... a couple years ago, Heidi and I were actually going to a funeral during a snowstorm. That's why we were driving, and we skidded off the road. And this is off of, we're probably doing 50 miles an hour, skidded off the road, probably came 2 feet from slamming into a concrete embankment, which would have been on my door and probably killed me or hurt me. So we're sitting in the ditch trapped, and Heidi is like, well, That was fun. See, the fine line between a tragic and a funny story. Mm-hmm. Well, we praise God for his protection.
Sure.
We're not saying, boy, we got lucky.
Right.
But my brother was 8 years old when he was killed by a drunk driver. Mm-hmm. So God did not protect him physically. Now, my parents did not curse God. But they were like, yeah, and every time we got in the car, we prayed for a safe trip. You can see why that was so important to my mom and dad, mm-hmm. because they were literally driving home from my grandmother's house when my brother was killed. So I think framing that a little bit and saying, like, God is always with us, because I actually think as a parent, teaching your children to navigate struggles in life is more important than just keeping them safe all the time. Mm-hmm. Being safe all the time is not realistic. Being pain-free all the time is not realistic. No. Seeing God is realistic, and knowing that he is with me even when I face all kinds of trials mm-hmm. is very realistic. So I would change the conversation almost immediately. Yep. In that area. The second thing that I would say, this is just as a parent, is Heidi and I exposed our kids to danger. We didn't try to keep them from it. Now, I'm talking realistically, right? So we didn't...
You didn't endanger them.
We did not endanger them, but I wanted, instead of teaching you to run away from the snake in the yard, I wanted you to learn to pick it up. Hmm. Now, I hate snakes. And I guarantee you, I have picked more snakes up in the yard than the average guy. Because I was showing my children, I'm not going to be afraid of this. Mm-hmm. And so we're gonna face it. And so we as parents just would not live a fearful life, and we would not let them live a fearful life.
You have a whole segment of your audience that isn't even hearing you right now. They're just like, you picked up snakes.
Yeah, I still do it.
Now they're hearing the Charlie Brown teacher of wah, 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 wah. They can't get past that right now.
Now we live, we have a little river that runs the length of our property. I have snakes everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I still, I have a deal with the snakes. I'm like, if you're by the river, you get to live. If you're in the barn, you have to die. But I'm like, I had to manage them because of animals and all the rest. But I'm like, I just refused. One day I freaked out because I saw a snake and the kids freaked out. And I thought, what am I doing? It's a garter snake. There are no poisonous snakes in Ohio. Mm-hmm. So I'm not picking up rattlesnakes and black mambas.
Right.
You know, that. And so I'm like, I just refuse to do it. And so instead of just not freaking out, I was like, no, I'm going to face this fear. And I would start to pick them up.
Yep.
And I prefer to do it with gloves on. But I'm like, I'm just not going to freak out every time. And there's all kinds of things like that. And I'm very afraid of heights. Mm-hmm. I'm actually not even afraid. I just get dizzy when I'm up high. But if I'm in a safe situation, I will make myself, like I can't stand on a roof. I'll pass out and fall off the roof and kill myself. But I can stand at the window of a skyscraper mm-hmm. and I'm going to make myself do it. Well, I would make the kids do it. And they'd be like, I'm afraid. I'm like, come over here. There's nothing to be afraid of. So we're going to face the fears. Now, the younger they are, the harder that is. But it's kind of like if you have a little one. We just had this happen at the house the other day. We had friends over. They're like a two-year-old. She fell down and scraped her knee. And there's two ways you can address that as a parent. One, you can say, oh, my gosh, come here, honey. Let's get a Band-Aid. Get out the peroxide. We got to go to the emergency room. The other way you can do that is say, oh, you're okay. Mm-hmm. You're okay. You say, yeah, oh, yeah, you scraped at a good one. Oh, man, good job. You scraped at a good one. And what you're doing is you're helping the child put the scraped knee in the proper context.
Right.
Now, you know, I cut my finger off a few years ago. That's not a you're okay. That's right. A like get to the hospital so they can sew your finger back on.
Exactly.
But I think with children's fears, we've been conditioned as parents that safety is the most important thing. And I'm like, that's true if you're talking about like mowing the grass or work. That's not true when you're talking about I've got knee pads on, elbow pads on, and a helmet on, and training wheels on my bike. Mm-hmm. Like, fall over a few times. It's how you will learn to do it. And so some of it is that. It's acknowledging those fears. And that's where I'm like, when you say Jesus will always protect you, you're not telling the truth. Mm-hmm. There 11 of the 12 disciples were martyred.
Right.
So we're not telling the truth. Jesus is always with us, mm-hmm. is a different thing. So when the kids would come, like get scared in the middle of the night because of the storm, I would get them in bed with us. They'd usually lay down between Heidi and I, you know, and I'd get them in bed with us. And then they would be like the thunder. And I would say things like, honey, that we're inside. The thunder's not going to hurt you. And the lightning, well, the lightning's not going to hurt. You know, we're safe. We're safe. And Jesus is here with us. Mm-hmm. He's here with us. And he knows that there's a storm. And we'd even get to talking about how, like, the storm, because I actually love thunderstorms. I sat on my front porch last night and watched thunderstorm. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, the storm, let's talk about the beauty of the lightning. Mm-hmm. And the power of the thunder, and let's look at it together, and let's see what I'm saying. I'm not saying let's go stand in the ditch and see if the water washes us away, but we're approaching the whole thing differently, and I can show them God in those circumstances, and we can trust God in those circumstances because we're gonna have to trust God. You know, regardless of circumstances, I think what happens is this sometimes, moms and dads. There's an old VeggieTales song. VeggieTales aren't as big as they used to be, but when our kids were little, they were huge. And it's called, it said, God is bigger than the boogeyman. That was the song. And it's fine. You know, it's a truth, I guess. I don't know if a tomato singing that to you affects your relationship with Jesus or not, but it was a song. But here's what I think happens. I think we teach children that God will protect you in all of your fears, and then we have to explain to teenagers why that's a lie. Mm-hmm. And then we have to really explain to adults who are dealing with the most profound pain. I'm stereotyping.
Yep.
And so, like, I have a 10-year-old, and God's bigger than the boogeyman. And then I have a 15-year-old whose friends are going through a divorce, or maybe there's a suicide, or they may have. And I'm like, what? So we're teaching a falsehood and then reteaching something different. And then you almost reteach something different when they're adults. Where if we went to the truth of Scripture and just said, God is with us in all circumstances, mm-hmm. and He is our ever present. Help in time of trouble. I quote that verse all the time. Help is different than he's the one who instantly takes our trouble away.
Right.
So I think that's the path you would go down. And I think it's very appropriate to talk about God's power. I think it's very appropriate to talk about God's love. I think it's very appropriate to talk about God's sovereignty, mm-hmm. his omniscience, his control, all those kind of things. But I think giving a childlike version of an adult truth is what Heidi and I tried to do with our kids as we went through things.
So in what context do we place a prayer for protection? Or do we pray for God to get us through this circumstance? Because there's certainly versions that we see in the Scripture where people will pray for that. How do we navigate maybe teaching your kids, for instance? You can certainly pray that, like, Jesus would keep you from this, the drastic effects of this storm or whatever. How do you help them navigate? What does that look like?
That you pray, you go boldly into the throne room of Christ and make your request known to God. Mm-hmm. So you pray for protection whenever, wherever, however you want. It is an appropriate prayer. It is a God-honoring prayer. Now, God is going to honor himself by answering that however he wants. And so our response to that answer is faith. So we're teaching our children to walk in faith, and we're teaching them to think in terms of faith. And this is where I think presence is the big word that other than protection. I'm teaching you to be, I am present with you. When I took my kids on a roller coaster for the first time, they always grabbed my arm and held on. Mm-hmm. Right? I could not protect them if that roller coaster went off the tracks. But I can be present with them in their fear. We do this now, like when you think about a father giving his daughter away, she'll squeeze the arm of her dad because his presence makes her safe. Even though the circumstances are like they're positive, but they're still like upending, mm-hmm. right? Yep. And so you can pray, and you should, mm-hmm. because God does protect us. Mm-hmm. I look back and like, this is what I mean, the fine line between a tragedy and funny story. The funny stories that I tend to tell about my youth, you click them one notch and it's tragic. I'm dead or a friend's dead. Mm-hmm. So was God's hand in that moment 100%. So can we make those prayers? Shall we make those prayers? Yes. And then walk. I think it's as important to talk to your children about unanswered prayers as it is answered prayers.
Yeah.
And the real lesson that we often get is in the unanswered prayers. That's where our faith is being built, mm-hmm. in those places.
Yeah, I think what you're helping us all understand is faith is how much we trust that person, not the fuel that causes that person to do something.
Right.
And that's a big, big distinction, and maybe even another parenting lesson of like, faith isn't, well, if you have enough faith, God will protect you from this. That's not what we're saying.
Yeah, we've been taught that if we have enough faith, we can manifest our own destiny, mm-hmm. and that has nothing to do with faith. Faith is choosing to believe what I cannot and will never fully understand, and that comes through a person. We think faith is, I love the way you said it, faith is like, if I double down on this, then God will give me this. Mm-hmm. And real faith is actually built when God doesn't give you anything and maybe even ask something from you that you don't want. Do I actually trust you? Do I actually love you? Do I actually believe you're in charge of these circumstances? I think just learning, having those kind of conversations, those conversations are not cynical. They are not like covering conversations like, oh, in case it doesn't work out well, let's make sure we say that. To me, that is like what it really means to walk with God and God's goodness and love and all of that. So when my dad died and mom and dad lived with us and my kids are, their grandpa died, who was literally an everyday part of their lives, the conversation wasn't how could God let grandpa die? The conversation was, let's think about what grandpa's doing in heaven right now. Mm-hmm. The conversation wasn't, how do I deal with the pain of my grandpa dying? The conversation was, like, let's talk about the joy that God let grandpa be in our lives, right, for a while. And then let's cry. Because right. It really does hurt. It really does stink. I hate this. I hate it too, buddy.
Yep.
I hate it too. And you know who else hates death? God.
Right.
That's why he gave us Jesus. It's that kind of stuff. And this is, I'm literally recounting a conversation with a 6-year-old.
Yep.
I'm like, let's just go down that path. And I think it gives them a healthy view of things. Now you gotta, you know what I'm saying. You got a 2-year-old who's just scared of thunder, just give her a hug and find her teddy bear and mm-hmm.
yeah,
help her get back to sleep.
Because like the short term and long term reactions to stuff, it's part of what builds that faith.
Yeah,
you know. So like when you see in real time, you're like, wow, this is not how I thought it would shake out, but I'm choosing to trust in what God is going to do. later in the long term, your faith might be built up because you see how God worked things out.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when I tore my ACL in college, like, at that time, my whole identity was being a football player. I would have prayed regularly for things like health, victories, strength, stamina. I mean, the typical athlete-type prayer. So when my knee blew out, I'm like, temporarily, God, where were you? I thought we had a deal of some kind. I grieved it. It stunk. It certainly hurt. Well, looking back now, my faith in God is higher because I see what he did in and through that and how he shifted my life. I'm like, oh, you showed up in ways I never would have thought possible. Matter of fact, you changed the course of my life. How faithful are you? But it takes trusting in him in the first place to even ever see just how faithful he actually is.
I think when it comes to children, like the in this world you will have troubles, but take heart because I've overcome the world. We've made that an adult verse. And we haven't made it a verse for a six-year-old.
Right.
And I'm like, no, and it's appropriate teaching. That's the verse I wanted my children raised on.
Yeah.
You're going to have troubles, so let's go ahead and get over that. And we serve a God who's overcome the world, so let's get into that.
Yeah.
You know, and it just shifts it a little bit. So all of this with love and mercy and grace, and sometimes kids just need to cry, and sometimes the boyfriend just broke up with her, and all those. This is not a sermon to your children every time there's a thunderstorm. It's a paradigm that you start to think through, and a way that you start to lead them.
And by the way, as a parent, this is actually one of the places where you get to help reflect the character of God.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're there with them, you know, walking them through this. So that's really good. Well, if you've got questions you'd like us to tackle, or if you'd like us to engage in nuance of even what we just discussed, head over to bath.gracechurches.org/mixed messages and send those requests and questions our way. We'd also love to hear how these conversations are helping you. Maybe it's in your parenting or your relationships or even in your own spiritual life. So don't be a stranger. Reach out. Let us know. If you're enjoying this podcast, make sure you subscribe, follow, rate, and review to help others find it too. And of course, we'd love to see you at Grace this weekend, whether in person or even checking things out online. Thanks so much for jumping in with us today as we continue to seek God's voice through all the mixed messages around us. We'll see you next time.